Well, I think it's very fitting that today is a big day at the station. 10 years we have been on the air. The 10th anniversary of TSN 1050, and I was lucky enough to be here day one. We all know that famous picture. I showed up in the worst shirt in the history of broadcasting. Day one, Queen Street, like all of Bell Media is there, CP24, CTV, executive suits, salespeople, marketing, and I roll in there in a pair of, like, awful jeans, worst shirt you've ever seen in your life, 265 if I was a pound, probably on no sleep, probably ate too much, and yet somehow I'm still here, which is shocking. Like, if we were taking odds 10 years ago, it'd be shocking. Jonas, you were kicking around the building. Jonas Siegel's in here from The Athletic, a day one guy himself. It's great to have you here. Noodles, you were basically a day oneer. You were lurking within weeks of us getting on the air.
Yeah, honestly, like, I had, I think, just been fired by the Flames, like, in April, and you guys were getting up and running, and then I was doing some panel stuff and was quite raw, needed some work, and they were like, hey, we're starting a radio station. Why don't you jump on this show? What was it, a Blue Lunch, right?
Originally, it was Blue Lunch because we didn't have the rights to the Maple Leafs, so we couldn't call it Leafs Lunch at that time. It was somewhere else. It was on a different station in the city, so we had to call it Blue Lunch. But it is fitting that it's the 10th anniversary, and O is taking a personal day. O is off on a personal day today. It's the 10th anniversary.
It was a busy day yesterday.
It was a busy day for him. Yeah, it was a busy day.
I'm still working.
That guy over there, you're still working, aren't you?
I believe, this is his spring break or whatever. It is what it is. But still, I mean, it would be nice for him to show his face on the 10th anniversary because he's, what, year six, year seven?
Oh, like, he's been here, I think, at least 7 years now. Yeah, seven and a half, like a 10-year run. I swear 13 or 14 months ago, I felt like I had a pretty decent grasp on time. You know, and I remember what it was like, and I can recall 8-9 years in the past, certainly 8-9 days in the past. Now with COVID and everything that's happened over the past 13 months, we've been doing shows at home for 391 days.
Ooh.
It feels like an eternity since day one of TSN Radio. And Jonas, you're in the studio right now. I was in there yesterday. I have no idea when I'll be back again. But
what was that
it's
like?
Been a good ride.
Was it weird for you being back?
Yeah, it's very strange.
Yeah.
Very strange. Like, that's it. That's what I'm saying. Like, I've been doing shows in that studio and in the studio down on Queen Street. We were down there for about a year and a half, I think, before we moved up. But I have put in hours, and this isn't just about me. A lot of people have put in hours in that studio. Meanwhile, it felt so foreign to me walking in there yesterday. And it's obviously something we can't control. You can't control COVID-19 and health and safety protocols are the top priority right now, as always. And you can't control when the date comes around, April 13, 2021. It happens to be 10 years ago today we launched. And that was a blast back then, and we're going to have fun this afternoon. And we got a bunch of giveaways to get to, including a boatload of cash we're going to get to in the 6 p.m. hour. We're looking for that 40-30 tight-tuck grit grinder, which, as I've been thinking about it over the past week or so, we've been promoting this. We haven't really gone down the grit grinder road in a long time, the tight tuck road in a long time, the Wrangler tight jeans. You know, that was many moons ago.
Day.
That was 5, 6, 7 years ago we were going down that path.
Well, I think it just became accepted that kind of that's what we were. Like, we are living grit grinders. And, you know, we had a segment. I think you and I, Hayes, had this segment called the Hyperbaric Chamber.
Yep, my favorite.
Player. It actually is my favorite segment of all time. And we have some great ones, Jerry's and, you know, Jonas. You know all the segments.
Oh,
but
yeah.
It's that one. I think it was, Hayes, your reaction to that segment that made me love it so much because of the story of how I told you I'd come in hungover in St. Louis and the trainer would just look at me and, all right, get in the chamber. Let's go.
Like, the best.
Point me in the direction of this little, basically, coffin that I would jump into, and it would kind of
come out a new man so you can go and just face rubber
life
for 2.5 hours.
Exactly.
It's one of my favorite stories ever. Forget TSN radio. Forget being in the studio. The idea of a hyperbaric chamber, which should be used for some guy with a blown-out shoulder, blown-out knee, someone who's, you know, played 30 minutes the night before. No, hungover at the bar on 2 hours sleep. and I got to get in the chamber just to come alive. And that developed into a great bit, the hyperbaric chamber. And yourself and, oh, you've so many different stories over the years that have developed into some great content. And I guess we'll start by just thanking everyone, thanking the audience for 10 years, thanking everyone for jumping on this train and being a part of the ride. All the producers, PDs, ops, Mullen, Keith, Steph. There's so many people to name, and we'll try to do it throughout the afternoon. But we're not going to spend 3 hours talking about 10 years in the past. We are going to get to the games from a night ago, the game tonight. We have the Leaf game for you. The Raptors are in action tonight. The Jays are in action tonight. Right?
What's three going teams. On with your Jays? Like,
well,
what the
they
hell
can't
are they
hit.
Doing?
That's the issue. They can't hit. I was encouraged by Robbie Ray last night. Like, all I think about is the back end of the rotation. Tanner Roark will not be starting as long as Robbie Ray can pitch well. Gerrit Cole did exactly what you expect. Like, he's a horse. He's arguably the best arm in baseball. If you're facing him, you're probably going to have a difficult time generating runs. But they are getting offense out of very few players in the lineup right now. And they're getting nothing out of the catching position, nothing out of left or right field. Biggio's bringing nothing to the table, and we saw how the game ended last night. It's an issue. Like, it's Grichuk and Vladdy and Bo's been pretty good, and Semien's been pretty good at times, and it's just not enough. They're bottom three, bottom four in the American League, and I think third in strikeouts. So they really need to liven up the bats, and you got Rio on the mound tonight, so you feel good about him giving you another quality start. He's given you two quality starts so far this year, but at some point he's going to get hit. At some point he's going to give up some runs. You're going to have to win some games. They have to start generating offense, and it's going to come. It's so early into the season.
It's way early.
Way too early into the season for any panic. This is what happens. Bats get hot, bats get cold. But as you guys know, when coming into this season, the debate was not revolving around offensive numbers. You know, that wasn't supposed to be the issue. They were going to manufacture runs, and so far it's been a real problem.
Well, and Hayes, the big guy you signed to lead your offense, hasn't played. Like, it's tough when you sign Springer to kind of be your top of the lineup, get on base, provide some pop, and you don't get him.
Yeah. Without really any answers on when he's coming back either, right? Like, there's two injuries that are happening in the city right now that have a lot of people flummoxed.
Yeah.
And, like, George Springer is the one where there's supposed to be more of a timeline on it. We know he's not going to play on this current homestand, so he's probably not going to play for the rest of the week. Maybe early next week he returns. It appears as if, again, the oblique injury has passed him by, but now it's a quad injury. This guy got re-injured while he was on the injured list with a different body part, which
is a
rarity. You don't see that too
often.
It's tough to do.
To get injured while you're rehabbing another injury.
Yeah.
Injury.
But on,
like,
the IL,
you know,
for the
a
oblique.
Different injury.
And then you have to get the whiteout out. I don't even know if they use whiteout anymore. Maybe they did 10 years ago. And just wipe that out. Yeah, we don't do oblique anymore. Now it's a quad issue for George. But he's going to come back. It's not anything longstanding. And then, of course, it's Freddie Anderson. Which Freddie Anderson and his injury is the ultimate elephant in the room. Because...
Yeah. You can go in so many directions with this.
So many directions.
What do you think? Hayes, me and Hayes have talked about it. Jonas, what do you think about it? What's your gut instinct, and what are you seeing? I mean, you're around those Zoom calls. You know, listen to Sheldon talk. What's your gut instinct on that?
What's concerning to me is a few things. Obviously, he hasn't been on the ice. Like, that's like number one. Like, it would be something if we saw him on the ice slowly starting to make his way back, and maybe that'll happen tomorrow, maybe that'll happen three days from now, but he hasn't been on the ice in almost 4 weeks. So then I start to wonder, okay, so when he does get back on the ice, how long does he need to get back into, like, playing shape? Is that a couple weeks? And then you're looking at it and you're like, well, there's not really that much time left in the regular season. Do you want him, like, coming back to be your backup, let's say, for the start of the playoffs, if he hasn't played at all? Like, what do you – I start to wonder, like, what do you do in that situation? It's not like he was playing great before the injury, and some of that was the injury. But, like, if you're the Leafs and he's not ready until game one, is he your backup? Or do you kind of –
He absolutely, like, cannot be your starter.
He's not, like, your starter,
for sure.
That's
your answer right there. You cannot have a guy that misses that much time and then just shows up and says, I think I'm willing to test it out tonight in game one.
No,
you can't have
that. We have to.
He's got to play before that.
He has to play.
But what if there are
play...
no games? Like, what if he can't get into a game? What do you do?
Well, I'll tell you this. So, Jonas, let me jump on the back of what you had to say. Just listening to what Kyle had to say, you know, reading cryptically, like, we want to make sure he's 150%. Mm-hmm. I believe, and he was adamant about, I believe Frederik Andersen is going to play games for us, whether it's regular season or playoffs. He didn't say, I believe Frederik Andersen is going to be our starter. I believe, you know, he play yeah. games could be, hey, he plays one at the end of the season. He, you know, maybe he gets into a game in the playoffs where it's an off night. Like, it didn't sound, again, I'm reading a million miles through the sifting through it. It didn't sound like, hey, Freddie Andersen is, we've got a timeline for him. We're comfortable. You know, in those last 10 games, we think he's going to start six of them and be ramped up and ready to go. And like they're, unless they've got, and listen, they're allowed to have everything behind the scenes. They don't have to give us any information.
There's no real injury report here in the league.
But that's the.
But that invites speculation, and that's what we do in the meantime. Like, if you're not going to say, and they, I don't think they know. Like, I don't.
I
maybe
think
they
basically
know.
Did say. From my perspective, what Sheldon Keefe said on the weekend is telling you all you really need to know.
Yeah, maybe.
Is that Freddie Andersen might be searching for an answer on what's wrong, and because the way Keefe essentially responded was, when Freddie tells us he can go, that's when he'll go. Not a doctor. Not when the bone heals, not when the MRI tells us, Freddie, which would suggest they're trying to maybe find an answer. He keeps going for consultation. Maybe he's being told, we think you're okay, you can play, but it's on you to make sure you feel at 100%, which ultimately allows for a sense of helplessness, I would think, if you're Keefe and Dubas, because you're like, I can't even go talk to the doctor because the doctor might tell me I think he's fine. It's on Freddie right. to make that determination. And if that's the case, like, I'm not disputing that he's got something going on, that he doesn't feel 100%. But if they can't find it, then you can't definitively give a timeline, right? Like, if you break right. something, well, it's like 4 to 6, and then you're back. If it's something nagging, and they're looking at it, and they can't give you a definitive answer, ultimately it's going to be on him. It's going to be on right. his comfort level, his pain threshold.
Right,
and
you tell us when you're ready.
Right, but right. there's got to be a limitation on that if you're the Leafs. It can't be before game one. Like, it can't be. And that's why you go out and get Riddick. Because if it is, then you tell Freddie, sorry, you're not even dressing tonight.
Right.
You know, I would assume.
But I agree 100%. Like, it's on him going, okay, I'm ready to try this. I'm ready to, you know, if they are looking at it, and I'm sure, believe me, the Leafs doctors are as good as any doctors mm-hmm. in all of pro sports, and I'm slightly biased because I know a few of them and I think they're the best. So that being said, they're going to be doing everything and everything within their power resources to get him 100% healthy. But if it's something that, you know, it's a nerves or, you know, like a nerve ending or something in mm-hmm. your back or your groins and that, like, they can have all the MRIs in the world. They can have all the CAT scans and all of that. But ultimately, once it gets to a certain point, it's about either pain threshold, comfort, all of that type of stuff. That's up to the player.
That's
and
up
I think
to the player.
That's what they're saying.
Well, yeah,
they're
that's
saying.
What it sounds like to me. Like, basically, that's where we're at. And Freddie, maybe in a week, maybe in 2 weeks, right. but there has to be a definitive timeline in terms of what you need to see out of him before you feel comfortable handing him the keys to your season, a season that you right. feel very good about and should feel good sure. about.
Oh, I don't. He's not. When he comes back, he's unless something happens with Campbell where he's not playing well or he gets hurt, he's coming back to be the backup. Like, I think that's clear.
We'll see after last night and where we go here, because
fair.
Campbell's on such a heater. He loses last night. I don't know why he feels the urge to say I was embarrassed or whatever. Like, that's going a little bit far. You know,
he's a guy who, you know,
it's a little bit
as
heroic.
You guys know. But even he was on our show the other day, and everyone loves him, and
he's
we love him.
He's such a good
I've
guy. Yes,
yeah. Great guy. But every night, it's like, I didn't like that goal. I didn't. You know what? I'll be honest.
It's the NHL, man.
It's the NHL. Like, you're going to get scored on. You're going to give up bad goals. Connor Hellebuyck gave up 2 bad goals right in front of my eyes last night. He's not, you know, worried about his next game. He's going to play, and that's it. Jack will get past that. But the biggest thing is on the heater, there were times where I think he was just average or below, but the team was like, hey, we'll win anyways. You know, I thought Ottawa, I didn't think he was great the other night in the Ottawa game.
No.
But, you know, they won. But 6-5. They found a way.
But what happens when it's playoff time? Like, so that's where you guys are right. Like, we can't declare anything. How do you respond when you have a bad night in game one of the first round? Like, when the pressure is really dialed up. And that's why I thought Feschuk had a good story today in the Star. Like, that's like the big elephant in the room. Like, Hayes, you were touching on it. We don't know that much about their goaltending. Like, we can't really say for certain anything. Like, Campbell's never played in the playoffs. We don't know what's happening with Anderson. I mean, the thing that I think is interesting, too, with Frederick is he came back and was playing hurt. And I think, to me, like, reading some of the tea leaves, them saying, like, you need to tell us when you're okay to play is a reaction to that, because he basically played hurt. He wasn't good. He took a lot of heat. He's playing for a contract. I mean, if you're in his position, you're like, well, I'm getting killed here. I'm playing hurt. Something's got to give,
right? There's a lot of
pressure.
He is dealing with more pressure than I would argue anyone else associated with the team because of a contract hanging over him. And furthermore, like, it's a legacy moment
this
season.
The history. Yeah,
the history in the playoffs and a chance for him to overcome that. His personal history.
Yeah.
There's a lot at stake here for Freddie Anderson. So I don't blame him for if he's got an issue, which he does, resolve it, make sure you're at 100%. The team is fine without you, right? Like, if this is a load management scenario, go ahead. You know, do it. Take your time.
But
you got to be back with, like, five games to go, so you get two or three in if you want to fight for the net come opening night. You have to.
I agree. I think there has to be a, I don't say it's a drop-dead date because it's a comfort level, but there has to be some form of a runway. If I'm the goalie coach there, and Steve Barrera will have this all mapped out 10 different ways. He's a really, you know, on-the-ball goalie coach. He's really sharp. So he'll have it mapped out as to how many games he thinks, you know, Freddie would need, you know, how many games do you think Jack needs to feel comfortable? Do you have to get David Riddick into a couple just in case, you know, plan A doesn't go, plan B? But the thing is, and I don't know, you know, I'll use Feschuk's words, the elephant in the room, is Freddie's uncertain. We're uncertain on that. Jack Campbell's unproven as really a starter. He's had stretches as a starter, but he hasn't been, you know, a starter in a market where, hey, there's expectations. Mm-hmm. And David Riddick is brand, you know, he just landed last night.
Right.
Brand
the expectations are limited with him right now. Yeah. And brought in as a third string goaltender if everything else
insurance.
Plays out properly as an insurance guy. So, yeah, we'll see. I'm curious to see how Campbell responds. You know, like, he had to get a loss out of the way. You can't, at some point, it's going to happen, and you've got to do it. And just, it's one thing if he's saying that publicly, to say it for his teammates, which I get the impression like he does that. He steps up and I'll take that. It's on me. Last night, Sheldon Keefe, it was on him. It was on everyone else last night. That happens. And that when you're on a winning team and the positive vibes are in the room, that's what comes with the territory. Nothing wrong with that. But it can't carry over to the next game. He's got to get back in there, keep playing. They're back in action tonight against Calgary. I haven't seen anything updated in terms of who's going tonight.
Well, Keith doesn't do his avail until 5:15, so an hour
from
now.
Is it going to be Riddick? Is it going to be Hutchinson tonight? I haven't
seen.
What
do you guys think?
It's got to be Riddick.
I'd go Riddick tonight. I would go Hollywood. I'd go Mighty Ducks. Goldberg, get out there. I think it'd be a cool story.
It would be. Let me paint a picture for you. David Riddick gets traded the other day. I don't know if they skated that day. I don't think he skated yesterday with the team because he was traded. He flew in, I believe, because of, you know, COVID protocol. I don't know if he traveled with the Flames, but he
did. I think Dubas said his understanding is he was on the bird with Calgary last night.
Okay, so he flew in with the team that he was traded from, which is fine. You're still friends with everybody and all that. But they got in probably late last night because I saw that they were practicing kind of after the deadline and all that. So they would have left afterwards. So let's say you get in at 8 or 9 o'clock last night. He's in a new environment, hasn't skated probably in a day or two, and then the team didn't skate this morning, did
they? Well, he did. He skated this morning.
Okay, so then there you go. Then that's the only reason why I believe that he could start tonight is at least he got a morning skate in his new environment. And he knows the building. He played here, what, 2 weeks ago?
Absolutely.
3 weeks
and he
ago?
Knows like the team he's going up against. He doesn't need a scouting report against Calgary. He knows them better than anyone
else. They know him, too.
They
That's
do know
the
him.
Thing, though.
They
That's
know
the
him
thing.
Pretty well.
They, They know him, and there's more shooters on that side than there is goalie. Believe me, I've gone against my former team, and all I can think about is like, oh, yeah, that guy knows that I don't like to really, you know, stop low blocker or whatever. You know, tendencies. It's like, hey, where does this guy go? It'll be a great challenge. I agree. I think it'll be great theater, but I just don't know if Sheldon would be like, Hutch, you're playing, and then Riddick will get you in once you're more acclimated to your environment.
Yeah,
you know?
Well, I am curious, and I think goaltending in general, in terms of the cup favorites, you know, we discussed it a lot yesterday on Trade Center and even when we got on Overdrive. Yeah. I feel I have always been a believer Tampa's the best team in the league, and I think they have a truly legitimate shot at going back-to-back, which Pittsburgh did 5 years ago. Prior to that, no one had done it in like 20 years since Detroit in the late 90s. And it's not just because they're getting Kucherov back, which is significant. With all due respect to Foligno, Hall, Mantha, no one is going to make a bigger impact than Kucherov. If he's at 100% and he rejoins them for game one, if they get that top seed, they're going to play a team like Chicago, Nashville in the first round. I think they'll cruise. That allows him to ease into it, get some, you know, acclimated to the pace of the game. You got I think the most depth 1 through 12 up front. They got the best defenseman in the world. But more than anything else, they have Vasilevsky. Where the Leafs goaltending at this point, that's the biggest question mark right now is goaltending for them. Colorado, goaltending. Carolina, goaltending. Even Vegas, Fleury does not have a great history, as we know, when it comes to like the big moments in big games. And if it's Leonard, who I'm not sure that it would be, what history does he have in the biggest moments, biggest games? So you look at the 5-6 big boys in the league right now. Even Washington, young, inexperienced goalie in terms of trying to go for a big run. Like Vasilevsky just stands out above and beyond all of the other high-end teams, four or five best teams in the league.
You're bang on. What do we talk about all the time? The spine of the team. They've got a Vezina-winning trophy winner in the net. They've got a Norris trophy. Like, Vasilevsky's going to win the Vezina this year. Hedman's probably going to win the Norris. Do you
I think
agree?
He's going to win it unanimously and probably should, if he's healthy.
Okay, and then a Hart Trophy winner is coming back into your fold to add into Braden Point and Steven Stamkos. And,
not bad.
You know, right down. So you're right. To me, it's Tampa above kind of the other three, four, five, however you want to, you know, whoever you lump into that situation. But it doesn't mean, you know, that things
well,
don't
there's
change.
Two ways
we
to look at
all
it.
The time, right?
There's absolutely two ways to look at it. If you are the Leafs, Colorado, Carolina, you're like, well, it's not like these other great teams feel like they've got a Vezina winner necessarily. So, you know, something's got to give. And
unless you face Winnipeg.
And Winnipeg's got it. And that's a big difference between what Winnipeg has and I would say the other three Canadian teams, including Carey Price, who at this point isn't even playing. We don't know what he's going to become playoff time. Again, today is the 10th anniversary of TSN 1050, and we have the Grit Grinder giveaway. We're giving away $1,050 in cash, $1,050. Nominate that special 4030 Tight Tuck Grit Grinder in your life. Post your photos on Twitter or on Instagram using the hashtag TSN 1050 10 years, and you could win $1,050 cash. A winner will be announced tonight in the 6 p.m. hour. We're thanking people throughout the afternoon. Everyone on the TV side as well. We've been on TV for years. Leafs Lunch, we're on TV. We've been on TV since the hop with Overdrive. Megan in particular, the queen of Overdrive, but everyone else behind the scenes that helps us out. Can't thank everyone enough for 10 years of the station, 5-plus years of Overdrive, and we'll continue to look back on the history of the station and look ahead to the future as well. The Leafs are in action tonight. Jay's in action tonight. Raptors in action tonight. Jonas Siegel in here, a day oneer of 1050 himself. And he is, of course, now with the Athletic. Noodles is here. I'm Brian Hayes. Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 and on the TSN app. Leafs, Raptors, Jays all in action tonight. We'll tee them up throughout the afternoon. Bunch of friends of the show on this afternoon as well. Jason Strudwick will join us in just a moment. Our buddy Struddy and Darcy Tucker coming up. It's going to be a Kamloops Blazers loving. Yeah, these guys, you know that's all they were going to want to talk about.
Their glory Memorial Cups.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. How many Memorial Cups did you win? That was Tux's favorite line. Love that.
Like anyone
Love
cared
that.
In the NHL. But well, he did but, have a pretty I mean, good junior career. I'll give him credit for
those
that.
Those guys dominated. That
dominated.
Kamloops team was
dominated.
Ridiculous.
They
ridiculous.
Went to, was it three in a row? I think they went
three
to
in a row.
And won three in a row. And yeah. Tux was the captain of the team, at least for the last year or two. And Ginla was on that team. Doan, I think, was on that team. Was it Nasher in there, too, I think?
How about Scott Niedermeyer? Yes, the Rash was like a goal-scoring winger. Yeah. And then you had Scott Niedermeyer.
That would have been before them, though, wasn't it? He was, because he got drafted in 91.
He was part of the group. Like, Niedermeyer, that Kamloops hole, like, there's Niedermeyer, Ginla. Yes, Niedermeyer's older than those guys, but they like he dominated that league.
Absolutely,
Kamloops was a juggernaut for years.
Well, Hitch was the coach, wasn't he? Wasn't Hitchcock the coach for a long
Bob
time?
Rob Brown's dad, Bob Brown, was the GM. They were a legendary duo.
Yeah, like, it's a cool little town too. I've been to Kamloops. It's kind of a gritty little mountain town.
James Myrtle of The Athletic is from.
Yes,
he always talks about Kamloops.
He points that out lot. How many articles up on The Athletic about the Foligno deal and where he's going to play and how he fits in? How many mock-up lineups?
56, maybe?
Yeah. Well, there should be. It was a big trade. I liked the trade. Like, that was the guy I was talking about for a while. Not that I was alone. A lot of people were looking at that. But I think Foligno is a perfect fit. And there's a lot of people, I understand, that were saying, if you're going to pay that price, pay for Taylor Hall. You make it work. Put it through three teams. Bring him in here. I don't think Hall was the fit they were looking for.
I think that's an interesting debate.
You would have preferred Taylor Hall.
I think it's a debate. I think we should ask Jason.
Strutty?
Strutty might be biased because he's Taylor's buddy. I think they played together, but, I mean, maybe Strutty would like the gritty winger as well.
Let's bring him in from TSN Radio out in Edmonton, longtime NHLer. One of our favorites, friend of the show, Jason Strudwick. Go ahead, Strutty. Taylor Hall, that's your guy. I'm sure you're a big fan of him going to Boston. But what about Nick Foligno with the Leafs? How does that factor in?
Well, I want to get into it, but first, let's talk about you three guys, and not you, Jonas, but old dog on the trade show yesterday. Like, you three guys, I don't know if you guys were unprepared or what, but, like, old dog actually looked pretty sexy. He looked kind of like Penn and Teller sexy yesterday. He was pretty good. But let's start with Noodles. Noodles, you look like you're in an Undertaker's basement, and you were like Bram Stoker's Dracula, and they just levitate you up, and like, you're talking. Besides, Baron had a lot of colors. You look like you were like literally sleeping in a coffin and coming up every time. And then
I've always had green skin. You know me. I've always had green skin. So
I mean, it was such a contrast between Marty and all his colors. And then we got Hazer on the other side. Like, why did you have to leave so quick in the middle of the show? Like, did you all of a sudden, were you worried that your sous vide was going to overcook your fish? Like, you just sprinted out there, and I'm like, well, what is this guy doing? Like, I only work till 2, then I'm done. Like, you guys, watching you three guys, it was unbelievable.
It was really ridiculous. That thing went viral quickly, but I can explain it, because I don't think I did a good enough job of that yesterday. So I had to be on the air at 4 o'clock, because Overdrive started at 4, and the last hit I did was probably ended around 3:53. So I finished the hit, and I sat there for a minute, and I thought to myself, do I wait? And then I'm like, Duffy's not going to break for me to get past him. Like, they're not going to go to break so that I can personally leave. So I just said, I'm going. And I should have taken the long way around. Like, clearly, I probably should have gone a different route. But once I was in, I was committed. And you know I love that screen time, Strutty. I needed just one more taste of it. One more taste. I had to have it.
My parking's up at 4 o'clock. I got to get out of here, guys. I couldn't believe it. I'm like, what's this guy doing?
It was amateur hour. Amateur.
So anyways, as far as Taylor Hall, like, I've got a lot of time for Taylor Hall. I think he's had a tough time with some of I feel some of the organization he's gone to haven't been the most stable. Mm-hmm. Now he goes to a place in Boston that's going to be pretty stable. They have a core group there that understands what it takes to be, a really good team. You know, they may not be as good as they were a number of years ago, but they're still a pretty strong group. And I think that's a nice landing spot for him. I don't think he would have been the right fit for Toronto. I look at Toronto, they have enough skill. So if you put Taylor Hall beside Tavares and who is it, Willie Nylander, I mean, you can only have so many pucks on the ice. And you know, all those three guys like to have the puck, you know, for some time in a shift. Whereas I think Foligno, if he ends up playing there, and I know there's a lot of debate about it, that's right, you can probably slot him in. You know, he's a guy that's going to give himself up for the benefit of those two guys. So he's going to crash and bang. He's going to get to the net, you know, drive the net, create hassle. And I can tell you, the D-man, when it's a little bit easier to play, and not a lot, but a little bit easier when you have three skilled guys that aren't maybe penetrating a lot towards the middle of the ice and making it, you know, making it difficult. But when you have someone in line now drives the net and pushes you back, that creates a lot of space behind that the net driver, whether it's out of the corner or off a rush. And now you're like, oh my God, I got to choose. Do I take this guy driving the net or they step up? And when I step up, they might find the guy who drives the net. So I really like that fit. And I think he brings energy and a bit more character to that lineup. You guys know how I feel about the Leafs, but I love that. Everything they did yesterday, but specifically that pickup was great.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. I mean, I think Dubas was active, clearly. Like, he had a number of boxes he was going to check, and he went through the whole list, even Ben Hutton as a depth guy. Riley Nash late last week, who was a guy I think that will play Strutty. But Foligno, like, they're going overboard here in Toronto with, like, the veteran, grizzled vets that really want to get out there and win the Cup, like Foligno, like Spezza, like Thornton, like Simmons. Tavares would be included in that, even though he's been here for a couple of years now. Mm-hmm. Can you picture the Tampa philosophy and the way it played out last year? Could it happen here in Toronto? Can you see a similar path?
I think the one concern I have is the net minding. Like, who's going to be the goalie? That's the one. It's not as clear. When I look at Tampa, it was very clear who the goalie is going to be, right? So I look at Toronto, who is the guy? And Jack Campbell's a great story. You know, I what's going on with Anderson? It seems like it's a little bit uncertain. Then you kind of have the other two guys. So, you know, is there one guy in there that's going to be healthy and available and up to the level that's required to be a good, to be the net minder they need? But as far as skaters, I do. Like, I look at them and I think with Winnipeg not choosing to bring a top defenseman in, and I'm not talking about trading for, like, Hedman, but a guy who can play in their top four, I think Ben's a nice addition, but he should have been, like, on top of another addition. And I think they missed the ball there. I don't know how many years they have left with this group here, and I think they missed the ball. So with that choice by Winnipeg, I think this actually makes Toronto the favorite in the North. But again, the goaltending, I mean, Noodles can speak to it better than I can, but I, as a player, I want to know who's going to be my goalie. And right now, and I recognize we're 14 games or 13 games ago, but it's a little unclear at this point.
Yeah, that's what we're talking about out of the start, right, Noodles? Like, that, even Campbell loses last night for the first time all season, and how's he going to deal with that? Riddick may go tonight, he may not, but the Freddie Anderson issue is certainly lingering. There's so much uncertainty
and Brian,
there.
You're right. And Brian, like, actually, before you came on, Strutty, Brian laid it out. Like, if when you're looking at, let's say, five or six teams, and we'll include Winnipeg in there, like, outside of you know, Tampa and Winnipeg, who is the starters? Like, Colorado, obviously Grubauer, but Grubauer is, you know, statistically, he's been amazing in the regular season the last couple of years. But if you look at his history, Washington, he started. And then it was Holtby that took over. Then he goes to Colorado and he gets injured. So, you know, he still has to go through the process. And after that, that's why they went and got Dubnyk, because they had Freddie Francaise. They went and, you know, got Johansson. They got Hunter Miska there, like guys that really are unproven. And you look right through all the other teams that are contenders, Washington, Samsonov, like, they don't have the clear-cut guys. And then Toronto, it's Anderson, who has a history of not getting out of the first round yet, and he hasn't played, or he hasn't even stepped on the ice in a month.
In over a month. And Campbell's got really no playoff history. Yeah, it's,
and so
Campbell's
neither
such an outlier.
Neither does Riddick. So Tampa's the outlier as far as goaltending stability, and then you throw in Winnipeg if they can get out of the North, if, you know, based on what they're pressed up against.
No, you're 100% right. So there are some challenges, and I think it's going to be like, I'm so looking forward to this playoff run, not just for the North Division, but for everyone, because I think there are a lot of questions. And, you know, not seeing some of those other teams, it makes a little bit more unknown. We can watch them, but how does, you know, the North compare to, you know, the other three divisions as far as playing? We're not sure because we haven't seen them play. So I think that it'll be interesting for the teams to get out of their division. But then the meeting of the unknown, it's a little bit like junior hockey when you have, you know, the Western League, what we know is the best league, and then you have Ontario and Quebec, and, you know, they all hook up in the Memorial Cup. And it's like, okay, well, I see these guys, and maybe I've seen them on Instagram, you know, talking about whatever, but I have never played against them. So I think that's that element, I think, really adds something kind of unique to this year that I like.
Well, speaking of the Memorial Cup, I can't remember how many of those teams you were on. The famous Kamloops Blazers teams from back in the 90s. But I guess not overly surprising news that the Mem Cup is going to be canceled again this year. So 2 years in a row, the Memorial Cup is not going to be played. And my understanding is the Edmonton Oil Kings thought they had like a dynasty on their hands, and I guess they can't pay off 2 years in a row. Everyone doing okay out there in Edmonton? What's going on in Kamloops, Strudy? I know you've got your ear to the grindstone out there, and knowing how people feel about the Memorial Cup and you and Tux and all your guys, yeah, all the throwback players.
Yeah, I mean, it's pretty special when you're able to throw a whole community on your shoulders, right, for 2 years. And I mean, whatever, you get them two championships. It's pretty special. But, you know, you're right about the Oil Kings. They did have a good group, and there's a young player here that I think, you know, someone's going to get lucky enough to get, Dylan Gunther. You know, and he's, I've known him for a little bit. I haven't ruined him, so obviously I didn't coach him. That's a good thing. But, you know, he's got a special release. Like, he's a good shooter. And I'm, you know, again, you know, what has he played? 20-some games. Now he's going off to that U18 team for Canada. But, you know, he's a guy that I think someone's going to get really lucky to get in this year's draft. I'm not suggesting I'm Bob McKenzie, but I've seen him play, and I really like that guy. So it'll be interesting to see where he lands. You know, in the top, whatever the number of the draft is this year.
Go ahead, Jonas. Sorry.
Oh, you sure? I want to take it in a different direction. I don't want to get
go ahead,
off.
Jonas.
Okay,
no,
let me.
Finish,
go ahead,
finish.
Jonas.
No, finish.
All right. I just wanted to pile on Strudy a little bit about Kamloops. Like, we were trying to figure this out. You played with Niedermeyer, or was Niedermeyer before you? Like, when was those dynasties we won three in a row? Was Tux, Nash, Iginla, and all of them there at that time?
Yeah, so what happened was Niedermeyer and Sador did it, and then they wanted to win again, so they brought another one of the bloodline in, the Strudwick bloodline, and I got another championship. So essentially, you were responsible for three of the championships, the Strudwick / small capital Niedermeyer family bloodline.
Okay. All right, I think that clears it up for everyone.
Fair enough.
More confused, but go ahead, Jonas. We're Jason Strudwick with TSN Radio.
I want to go back to the NHL. Jason, you watch McDavid, obviously, as close as anyone. We're watching, like, Austin Matthews scoring and scoring and scoring. He's got 32 goals. He's going to get to 40 in a 56-game season. What do you do with the MVP? How do you kind of break this thing down? Like, McDavid's going to lead the scoring race. Matthews is going to run away with the Rocket Richard. How would you vote?
Yeah, that's a tough one, and obviously it's going to be just going to come off as biased, but I still think I'd go with McDavid just because the number of assists he's piling up. You know, I last I checked, I'm pretty sure he's leading in assists. And I think that for his ability to distribute the puck and kind of make everybody around him, you know, that much more dangerous, but also like just a more of a weapon, right? Because he sucks so many people to him, and he's able to get that spot, that puck to someone who's open. But I mean, I got to tell you, I think Austin Matthews taking a big step forward in his game this year. Like, I obviously getting to see him play, what was it, eight times or nine, whatever it was, eight times you've seen him play. His game is so good. And every time the puck's on his stick, he's a threat to score. And I can't say that about every player in the NHL. Just the way he carries it kind of is one, his top hand really pushed out. And Noodles knew more about this, but it's such a, you don't know where he's going to release it, when he's going to release it. I think that's such a cool thing. So I think that his game has gone just through the roof. And I don't think he's done. I still think he's got a ways to go in his game, and that's a real positive for the Maple Leafs. But I do think I'd probably give it to Connor. His points total is so far ahead of others. It's pretty incredible, actually.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing the number he's putting up. I think it's likely those two guys that are the race right now. But I mean, there's obviously guys south of the border who are still putting up pretty quality numbers and are chasing them. But Patrick Kane was in there for a while, and then Kane kind of stepped back a little bit. Chicago kind of fell off a little bit. And as of now, it feels like it's likely McDavid, Matthews, certainly getting nominated, I would think.
Yeah, I think McKinnon's coming, too.
He's coming on.
Kane's third in scoring now again. He got there last night, didn't he? Like, he's right there. Like, it'll be – I think it's like a four-man race for three. If that makes sense, because Patty Kane, yes, yeah. For nominations, yeah. Like I think
Chicago's
got
to get in. That's the only thing. If Chicago misses, Kane's not going to get nominated, just based on the history of the award.
Yeah,
you know, that's generally the way it goes. But
yeah,
Kane's got Matthews by a point, but Matthews has so many more goals than him. I think Matthews should probably be ahead of him. But what's interesting about that is Draisaitl's still lighting it up and wins the Hart last year. This year, it's like, sorry, that's not good enough for us. You know, we're going to have to move on from him, but. Anyway, we'll see. There's only so many more games before the real stuff, and we know who's going to the playoffs. The Oilers are going. The Leafs are going. Montreal and Winnipeg, and we'll see how it all shakes out. We'll do it again down the road. Thank you, Stretty.
I'll send you a countless blazer picture, buddy. Put it on your wall.
Signed if you can. An NFT.
That's more expensive. That's
fine. I'll pay it. I'll pay whatever I have to. I need it. Thank you, Strutty.
See you guys.
There's Jason Strudwick of TSN out in Edmonton. Yeah. Former Kamloops Blazer legend.
We always forget, like, Scott Niedermeyer and Rob Niedermeyer are his cousins.
Right.
Like, it is crazy about the bloodlines that the skating stopped at the Strudwick household, but the
yeah,
the
what happened there? Like, the Niedermeyer, like, Scott in particular, just one of the great skaters of all time.
Yeah, and yeah, then, I love it.
Yeah, yeah. Let me look at these teams, these Kamloops teams.
It's like all future NHLers. It's pretty nuts.
It's pretty incredible. And even, like, the turnover, because that – the 1 year, like, I'm trying to find it here, Daryl Sedor, Scott Niedermeyer. I don't think Niedermeyer played a ton of games because he would have been at the juniors, and
right.
He may have started in the NHL before he came back. But that 91-92 team, Tom Rennie was the coach.
Yeah.
And they won 51 games that year. That was when Tucker was a rookie that year, but Tyson Nash is on that team. Like depth young kids were future NHLers on that team.
Yeah, they had a great program. They had a great junior program. I know we got to go, but I think Strutty made a great point about junior hockey, the Memorial Cup, and the NHL. Like, that's true. The WHL and the Quebec League and the OHL, all the top teams are coming out, and then they face each other in the Memorial Cup. That's what the conference finals are going to look like,
right?
Where you haven't faced those teams at all. You just know about them. Certainly the NHL, you know and played against these guys in previous years, but it's kind of that template where
the Final
like the
Four is going to be a lot like the Memorial Cup. That's exactly what it's going to be like. I mean, there's more turnover. There's more of a connection, clearly, but a lot of it is going to be seeing these guys for the first time. It's like the World Series back in the day before interleague play.
Mm-hmm.
Like the only chance you get to see a Boston, a Pittsburgh, a Colorado, a Vegas, a Tampa, or whatever, is if you get to that Final Four. And that's going to be pretty cool. And we know one Canadian team is definitely going to be there in the end. Ray Ferraro coming up. Darcy Tucker will still join us. Confirm or deny, still to come at 6 o'clock. Overdrive continues, TSN 1050 and on the TSN app. In honor of TSN 1050's 10th anniversary, Access Storage is giving away a $250 Real Sports Apparel gift card. So we've been asking people on Twitter all afternoon, at Overdrive 1050, on our Twitter account, to get involved in our Caption This contest. And a lot of people have been doing that. A winner will be picked. The grappler will be grappling with your DMs and sending you a message, and the winner will be picked. And again, thanks to Access Storage for providing us with Real Sports Apparel gift cards. Try 4 weeks of free storage at over 100 Ontario Access Storage locations. AccessStorage.ca, proud partner of the Toronto Raptors. So we appreciate that. Speaking of our Twitter account, look at that. That's the caption this picture. That was Mark Masters.
So good.
After he lost the trivia, that was, I believe, the first one. He was talking such a big game. There he is up on TSN 4. That was like half an hour after it had ended, too.
He was just
funny. I have another picture after a different loss where it's similar. Like, I think he was lying on the floor. Just devastating.
I remember that one, too. That really hurt. Multiple losses for Mark Masters.
You need a new partner. You need a new trivia partner. I'll tell you that.
I got to stick with him.
We haven't even gotten into your salad. It is glorious.
Glorious. Like, glorious.
I told Grappler, post a picture online, and he did a perfect Barry Gibb. Now, you guys are too young to know who Barry Gibb is.
Oh, I love the Bee Gees. I'm a Barry Gibb guy. The Bee Gees are awesome. Remember in Wayne's World? They're like, that's the one band that everyone loves.
I'm telling you, you are Barry Gibb in the heyday, which is a compliment because that guy was a stud.
Absolute.
That guy
10 out of
was
10.
The man.
10 out of 10, Barry Gibb. You think about the bar play of Barry Gibb back in the day, it would have been off the charts. Are they Australian or New Zealand?
I'd have to look. Yeah,
I think they're Australian.
But
anyway, not that it matters at all. But look at that up on TSN4.
It is just
Jonas, you have to hold on to that hair, man. That's your new look. You can't get that thing cut.
It's a lot to manage. I don't think so.
Telling you, man. I know from my own experience. I used to be a short haircut guy, and I'm not going back, man.
You're
COVID,
out.
COVID allowed me to walk through a door of long hair, and I'm sticking to it.
Wow, yeah, hang on to it as long as you can, because one day you're going to wake up and it's going to be on laying on your pillow, and you won't be able to reattach it.
That's what happened to Barry Gibb, I guarantee it. Barry Gibb would have had fake hair by the time he hit 50, 55.
No, there's a picture of him on the internet right now. He looks like that mashup of Craig and Gino.
Holding on for dear life, Barry Gibb.
Just hanging on, exactly.
I love it. Hour two coming up. Ray Ferraro will join us. Darcy Tucker still to come. Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 and on TSN 4.